In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Disasters, whether natural or man-made, the effects of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tornadoes, floods, tsunamis, mine explosions or collapses, leave us saddened and bewildered. Those of us not directly involved can only imagine the horror. Even so, we are aware again how vulnerable we are as human beings in the face of nature, and how conscious we need to be of the risks attendant on taking for granted human sovereignty over the earth. We cannot tame the seas. We cannot control the wind or the rain. We cannot prevent earthquake or volcanic eruption. All we can do is put in place limited protection against the worst of their effects. During the latter months of last year and the past few months of this, we've seen all too many examples of natural or human disaster. Some have had amazing outcomes, some have not. In this interconnected world, the internet and associated means of electronic communication bring us instant information in a way that never was before. So now the whole world joins, albeit distantly and in a muted manner, in the joy of escape from disaster and the sorrow of the loss of human life. Only a few weeks after the world was rejoicing at the freedom of the Chilean miners, we were saddened to hear of the loss of 29 men in the Pike River mine in South Island. A few months ago, we rejoiced that despite the destruction caused by the Christchurch earthquake of the 4th of September 2010, no lives were lost. Now we grieve that on the 22nd of February, not only was so much of Christchurch and Canterbury damaged or destroyed, but so many lives were lost and so many more people seriously injured. The world's eyes all too quickly passed on from New Zealand to the uprising and suppression in the Arab world, and to the Japanese earthquake and tsunami with its terrible loss of life and destruction. But each life lost, each family grieving or displaced, is a cause of sorrow in itself. Whilst we might reel in horror at the thought of more than 10,000 lives lost in Japan, it's not our obsession with numbers that matters, but each individual experience. In September last year, I'm sure I was not the only person to give thanks to God for the fact that no lives had been lost. Now what should I say? The suffering Job was tempted to curse God and die. If we thanked God then, should we curse God now? By no means. There is always much amidst our sorrow and grief for which to give thanks. Giving thanks does not dishonor those who have died, nor does it seek to minimize the suffering. It does recognize both the strength and resilience of the human spirit and the never-failing love of God. There are amazing stories of the courage of survivors and of the bravery of rescuers. We've heard some today. For them all, we thank God. We thank God, too, that in Christ he shares the suffering. As we heard in the reading from the letter to the Romans, God did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us. The Christians in Rome were suffering persecution and want and were threatened with despair. Paul encouraged them to believe that nothing would separate them from the love of God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, we might add, or earthquake or tsunami? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through through him who loved us. We thank God, too, that through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has conquered death. Everywhere the empty cross is a symbol of the triumph of life over death. Australian rescue teams presented the people of Christchurch with a wooden cross and bench, fashioned from materials salvaged from the badly damaged Christchurch Cathedral. The Dean of the Cathedral, the Reverend Peter Beck, who'd given Australian teams permission to use some of the wood from the ruined cathedral in Christchurch's city centre, said this, "My heart is full of tears, tears of grief and sadness, and also tears of thanksgiving for you guys and many others who've come to our city to help us. You're amazing, and thank you." He said the bench and cross were a symbol of a new beginning. I've quoted from the Christchurch Cathedral website. May the cathedral's spire rise again to be a symbol of hope and of God's love over the city. Can Christchurch, can Canterbury recover from the disaster? Can the city rise again? It will never forget, but it can and will rise. Some years ago, I visited Napier in North Island. I was there for a wedding and was struck by the singular beauty of the Art Deco city, rebuilt after the devastating earthquake of 1931. I visited an exhibition and saw photographs of the ruined city and heard first-hand accounts of the experience of the earthquake itself and its aftermath. 256 people lost their lives just 80 years ago. The tales of bravery and heroism I heard then have found their echo in Christchurch 80 years later. I conclude with another echo, this time of the words Prince William used at the earthquake memorial service on the 18th of March in Hagley Park, when he said, "Kia kaha, be strong." I quote words from the letter to the Ephesians, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God." Amen.